Hayden was great. I mean, that's what he's here for. Got the lead, multiple innings, did a really nice job. I thought started a little bit slow, and then you saw it pick up. As soon as he got a base runner, stuff started jumping out of his hand, you know, 94s, 95s, once he got comfortable and kind of in a rhythm. And just I thought he was really efficient from there on. I held runners really good. Those guys like to run, really made some pitches.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of David Ross. And we are delighted to welcome in Lance Brozdowski. He with the Marquee Network. And he is the player development analyst for the Marquee Network. The Road to Wrigley show, always a ton of fun to watch. And Lance joins us now on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Lance, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How about you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on, and we're trying to, you know, we're just trying to figure out, I guess I'll ask it this way. What did you make of seeing Justin Steele leave in the fashion in which he left, nine outs into the game and feeling discomfort in the forearm? What that set off alarms for everyone.
I imagine, yeah. I mean, we've seen a ton of injuries this year, particularly like flexor strain injuries with pitchers. A lot of Tampa Bay Rays guys we just saw had in town went down. Drew Asmus and Jeffrey Springs for them. I mean, obviously everyone's concerned right off the bat, but I think, in my opinion, in a lot of these situations, you have to just rely on what the team says or how the player reacts. And Steele's post-game press conference, I thought, was really encouraging. So it sounds like he's getting an MRI today. We'll see those results, see what it is. It seems like they're really downplaying it. So although you hate to see a guy get pulled after nine outs, the fact that they weren't particularly worried, from my impression of how, you know, just reading body language and such, I'm not particularly worried. Would I be shocked if they put him on the IL for a little bit? No, but that's also just a product of him getting injured at the end of last year as well and wanting to manage workload. Like, if his team wants to make the playoffs, they need Justin Steele in there late, yeah. You know? So if he misses two starts, three starts right here up front, just to really get him right and make sure that he's able to throw, you know, however many innings he's projected for throughout this, later in this year, at the end of the playoffs, like, they're going to need to do that.
So, Lance, as somebody who understands the Cubs system as well as anybody, we saw yesterday Hayden Wesneski come up and have to be used in a relief role. He's a starter. There are a couple other guys at AAA Iowa that might fit that same profile, and you wonder, what about Ben Brown? What about Caleb Killian? What about Daniel Palencia? Guys who might be asked to play a relief role for the Cubs, even if they might not be accustomed to being used in that fashion.
Yeah, that's always tough. I think there's two angles there. One is that the Brewers have done this continually with a lot of their arms. Freddie Peralta came up. Aaron Ashby is hurt this year, but he's another guy who came up in relief and then eventually moved to a starter role. And then there's the other angle of talking to guys in other systems and even in the Cubs system in the past about how going from starter to relief and almost being yo-yoed between that could sometimes mess up a guy. You know, guys are built differently. Guys have different routines, and getting back on routines is something that I imagine it's difficult to do. So you have a bit of a push and pull there, where obviously if the need is for pen arms, then you're going to try to convert a guy like Ben Brown maybe to come up as more of a reliever out front and see how he does. But for me, Ben Brown is a starter through and through long term. I really think that there's multiple pitches there. He's been great this year. He's one start. He's given up seven runs at AAA. The rest of them, he's had one or zero. That's between actually AAA and AA. He's dominated last time out, 11 Ks over five and a third. He's a starting pitcher to me. As to whether it's more valuable for them to bring him up as a reliever for the time being and then convert him back to a starter, I think that's totally fine. But I do think they have other options. Cody Hoyer is coming back from Tommy John surgery, pitched yesterday. Zila was down slightly in that outing. It's kind of progressed down throughout his rehab outing at AAA. He was like a 97, 98 guy now. I think yesterday he was more 95, 96. So that could just be some hangover from the Tommy John. I don't know if that's anything to be totally concerned about. He's probably the arm that I'm most excited about, where it's a reliever through and through. I think he could help right now. That's three pitches as well with the slider and the changeup, such that he could help each handedness. And we won't run into these situations where you have a Mark Leiter who's better maybe versus lefties and an Alex Leiter who's better versus righties. Hoyer can get either handedness out, and I like him in kind of more of a leverage role. Post-Tommy John, do they want to immediately make him a leverage guy? I'm not entirely sure there. So then you think about a guy, as you mentioned, Daniel Palencia. He throws really hard. they wanted to get him out of Double A because they're using an experimental baseball down there. And it was helping him probably more than maybe some other guys because of how he throws. So they bring him up to Triple A. He's had some release point inconsistencies. He's a guy that I really liked that I had inside my top 10. But I had him inside my top 10 because I liked him as a starter. I thought there was kind of maybe Hunter Green, Spencer Strider upside there. You know, now that he's a reliever, I'm not entirely sure where the tolerance is to bring a guy like that back into a starting rotation. So those are probably the three guys to watch out for. I think Palencia is maybe long-term reliever now based on how the team has thought about him. Ben Brown's a starter to me. Cordy Carr, obviously a reliever. So it's this odd push and pull of, like, if you bring the guy into the pen, is that maybe the best thing for his trajectory? They have a glut of starting pitching right now, honestly, with Hendricks coming back and pitching reasonably well, where I'm not entirely sure, you know, it's funny. I feel like a lot of other teams are hunting for starting pitching. Like, the Brewers started Julio Teheran yesterday. I didn't even know he was still in baseball, you know? And it's like, but they have pen arms. So it's this weird mix of, like, their Cubs are in a situation where they have a lot of starting pitching. They have probably six starters right now. I think Wisniewski's a starter as well. And they have more starters at AAA. It's just they need pen arms. So it's a weird balance of a roster construction right now.
I'm curious, when you see Matt Mervis, Lance, and the way that he played at the minor league level and the way that he has struggled in the major leagues, what's your thinking on that, and how long will they wait on him to come around?
That's a great point. Yeah, he's had success every single place he has gone in the minor leagues, and probably the most impressive thing is that the walk rate has gone up at every level. The K rate, for the most part, has come down almost at every level. It's kind of insane. I mean, if that continued, then you're looking at, you know, probably the best hitter on the team. So I guess there was maybe a bit of a heat check, so to speak, on him as he came up. The underlying stuff, I'll say, looks pretty good. He's still barreling the ball at a reasonable rate. That's above average. He's about 13%. The league average is somewhere around 8. He's hitting the ball hard, 50% hard hit rate. So that means half the balls he's hitting are above 95. You hit the ball hard, good things are going to happen. You hit the ball hard at the right angles, better things are going to happen. He is probably hitting too many balls on the ground right now. That might be part of the issue. You don't want to see a ground ball rate over 50% with him. He's a guy who generally is going to linger in the mid-30s, even low 30s. So the thing for me is, like, anytime you see a guy jump up to the majors from AAA, the stuff gap, so to speak, pitchers are better at the major league level. And I don't know if the gap has grown over the last couple of years, but to me it kind of feels like it has. So this, to me, feels like an adjustment period. We saw this with Jordan Walker, the Cardinals, who came up, right? He comes up, the hype is insane. He kills spring training. He struggles a little bit initially. He's actually, I think, a reasonably league average player for the most part, but he gets sent back down. They want him to hit the ball in the air more. I'm not exactly sure what the timeline is and how much they want to wait with a guy like Matt Mervis. I think the underlying stats look good enough for him to make a slight swing adjustment, lift the ball a little more, and then maybe you get back to league average results. But long-term, I do think he's more of maybe like just a league average, slightly above league average guy. I don't know if this is like the best hitter on the team. And maybe we got a little jaded seeing him in AAA absolutely mashing 2 years in a row where we just expect him to come up and save the team and hit a bunch of home runs. I think he's a very, very productive offensive player. And I do believe it's the right move to call him up. There's nothing else to prove at AAA. But they need to win right now. And that's maybe, another kind of balance for the team to figure out is whether he's the best option to do that, especially with how he's been struggling. But I have faith he'll turn around. All my conversations with him, he's incredibly cerebral in how he thinks about his approach. I know he's a guy that's in that cage every day trying to figure out what's going on. To me, it's lift the ball a little more. The underlying batted ball data in terms of how hard he's hitting it looks great. So I think it's maybe just a little more tolerance with him. But again, like, if they need to win, do they want to put the guy trying to figure out his swing in the lineup every single day? And that's maybe the hardest part for them to figure out. Was he a better option over Hosmer? I think for the most part he was. You know, I don't think they regret that move, so to speak. Hosmer was never really a productive offensive player. I think he was brought into the team to be more of a veteran presence. And there's definitely value in that. But it was the time for Matt Mervis. You can't keep him down at AAA with even strikeout to walk numbers and how many home runs he was hitting.
30 seconds, Lance. Why have we not seen David Bodie with the Cubs yet?
Oh, that's a really good question. I did not think you were going to close me out with that one. How have we not seen David Bodie? That's a great question. I honestly have no idea. I think he's kind of just stuck at AAA. He's been hitting the ball incredibly well. I don't know whether he would be as good at the majors. He kind of just seems like a guy that might forever be a AAA bat. That's a great question. You have Jed Hoyer next. Maybe he could answer that.
Can you book him for us?
Yeah.
I'll text him. I'm sure.
Thanks, Lance.
Lance, thanks a ton. Really
no
appreciate
problem,
it. Great stuff.
Thank you.
That is Lance Brzdowski. The road to Wrigley is really fun, and he's got his finger on the pulse.
He certainly does. Every aspect of the Cubs organization, he is on top of.
No doubt about it. We're going to switch gears and get to the NBA. We're going to talk to Pat Garrity about what happens tonight in the finals, the beginning of how long a series. We'll ask him. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.